Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. By now, you've all heard the sad news about the passing of Alan Nathan, his program I frequently hosted. And, you know, probably sometime early on, he was on this program as well at some point. We're talking 10 years ago or more. But we do miss him deeply, and if you want to see any of his material, you can go to alannathan.com. He's got articles, op-eds, etc. up there that he's written over the years, and there's also podcasts up there for the Alan Nathan Show, majority of which he would have been hosting. And you can find those podcasts on mainstreetradionetwork.com too, as well as podcasts for the Silk or Joe Show on mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find us on social media too. Look us up at Facebook on Main Street Radio Network's page, X at Main Street Radio, and you know what, X at Alan Nathan, because even though he is no longer with us, the show is still continuing with me now, kind of on a permanent weekly guest hosting basis, so worth checking out there. If you hadn't before, you should listen to some of his older material. It's all good. Again, that's available at podcasts at mainstreetradionetwork.com and alannathan.com. Now, before I sneeze, got to get to the new stuff for this segment. So, we have several victories here for the Trump administration or Republicans in general. Homeland Security, just reading these Fox News headlines, DHS celebrates victory after judicial overreach on Chicago raids gets blocked. Also, major newspapers slams Democrats for holding government hostage over subsidies. And CNBC, as well, slammed the Democrats over that. So there is a bit of pushback from left-wing control media. It was the Washington Post, that's the major newspaper, by the way, that was telling them that it's time to end the shutdown. I guess this is the quote here. Schumer has allowed the shutdown to drag on because he's worried about fending off a primary challenger in 2028, according to the Washington Post editorial page. So there's the, Yeah, the Gray Lady is the New York Times. The Washington Post is the paper of record, and they are now on record joining against the Democrat-ran shutdown, which, according to a poll that CNN presented this past week, has led Republicans and Trump to be up 3 points in approval. So it's not working for Democrats this time around, and I'm kind of shocked because Republicans, they are very good at shooting themselves in the foot when it comes to shutdowns. There's that 35-day one that happened during Trump's first term where everyone blamed Trump for it. Well, two-thirds of the country, anyway, according to polls, blamed Trump for it. And now we're in the midst of another shutdown, at least as of this recording. Well, I hate that I always have to say that, but anyway, so it has kind of backfired. And, you know, that's also, by the way, tangential. The reason why I have to say as of this recording is also the reason why I'm not commenting about any riots that may be going on in your neighborhood right now. Because on social media earlier this week, there was plenty of people, just welfare recipients and people who have made that their livelihood, receiving food stamps and welfare, that were threatening to riot if their source of income was taken away from them. Because Lord knows they don't want to get a job. And you know, there's plenty of people who need those programs. These aren't the people who need them. These are the people who made it their job, made it their livelihood. They think that just by existing, they are entitled to receiving food stamps and SNAP benefits. And people who think that it's some sort of scam, some sort of job, and you're a sucker for working your 9-to-5 every day because they have the security of the government-promised benefits behind them. Kind of their own words, paraphrased slightly there, but it's pretty much the own words that you've seen on social media posts out there. So I'm not making that part up. This is not some straw man. This is stuff I've seen on the social media channels about people, why they are motivated to spend their lives on EBT, SNAP, food stamps, etc. And you have this generational thing where they do it because they, well, parents are doing it. They're just sitting at home popping out babies to get more income. I'll do the same dang thing. And the rest of us pay for it. We're paying for other people to take advantage of the system. How nice. There needs to be a great overhaul of this. And, you know, perhaps we can start with anyone who does choose violence over their benefits being cut, or choose criminality over their benefits being cut. Perhaps they should not be entitled to their benefits. Certainly if they're on social media threatening those things, then they should be facing some kind of punishment for it. I mean, I can't go on social media and threaten things like that. I'd be arrested. We've seen what happened during the Biden administration. Gee whiz, the FBI raided the homes of this old man and shot him dead because he had issued threatening statements on social media. So I'm not going to be one who's able to do that. But I digress. The point is that there were threats of riots, threats of raids on Walmart, etc., if the benefits were cut. And Democrats and Republicans, they were working to keep the benefits afloat, temporarily anyway. And in some states, like the state of Virginia, the governor's office was talking about how they'll just reach into state funds or whatever to keep the program going. And we'll see how that turns out. Maybe that will quell any rioting locally. And there was another social media user who threatened to go into the homes of suburban folks and rob them of their groceries and whatnot. Because after all, it's not like you're entitled to food. Only they matter. That's why we kind of complain about the slogan, Black Lives Matter, because instead of All Lives Matter, because you were teaching them one thing, their lives are the only ones that matter. And now, fruits of that, but then again, it's the fruits of government dependence. And someone else pointed out on social media, can't claim credit for this idea, how when the government got involved with college tuition, prices rose. Government got involved with food, prices rose. Go figure. Anytime the government got involved in healthcare, prices rose. That was the third thing. So now we're at this situation with the subsidies, which is the reason behind the shutdown to begin with, and high food prices, which, you know, the SNAP EBT folks, they don't have to live with that. They're the only ones in the grocery store with the full carts. The rest of us are just buying bare minimum of what we need. On average, in case you weren't aware, on average, a SNAP benefit EBT recipient actually buys more non-essential food items than someone with a full-time job, someone who's not receiving those benefits. So just a little food for thought there, so to speak, about how the benefits are being spent. And I've seen some estimates, 3.5 million illegal immigrant families that are on receiving end of it, getting $800 to $1,700 worth of benefits every month. So again, this program does need a huge overhaul, fix these issues with it, and perhaps it could have lasted longer, another month even, if such overhauls had been done in the past. Now, the Democrats, for their part, they consider this leverage. They think that this will make them popular again because they're like, oh, the Republicans are the one holding your SNAP benefits hostage, not us, even though we're refusing to vote for clean resolutions to open the government, despite what now federal labor unions are demanding, despite what the media is demanding. We're going to be obstinate, all to save Chuck Schumer's career. So you got to wonder which messaging will these angry riotous folks, you know, I think they're just actually looking for an excuse to riot, honestly. And, you know, earlier this week, Portland, the encampment outside the ICE facility, the Portland police cleared it out. Now, what they were doing, they didn't just dump everything in the garbage. They were loading things up into special trucks, being put in special storage or whatever, for the next rioters, of course. The Portland police has been caught colluding with the rioters on plenty of occasions before. And, of course, the stand-down orders, it's a different form of collaboration, but still. So we know that Portland police, they didn't operate without Antifa's blessing when they cleared out the camps around the ICE facility there. And it makes you wonder several possibilities about why they might have done so. I might get to those later in the hour, but the most relevant one I can think of is they were preparing for these food stamp riots. These Antifa folks were needed elsewhere because, you know, the crowds on demand services aren't getting the funding they need because of all the funding that's been cut, all the funding that was blown on the No Kings protests. So now they need something for the food stamp riots that are being planned. Who knows? I'm only speculating here. Maybe the weekend will come by nice and peaceful. Like, after all, it's not like all SNAP and EBT benefits expire on the first of the month. There's plenty that are, I read that they were issued kind of, you know, based in several waves during the course of the month. So perhaps some of these folks, they were smart, they saved up, or they bought enough food to... No, that didn't happen. The people who are planning to riot are not the kind who stock up for the winter, so to speak. They are the kind who blow every cent they have as soon as it enters their wallet and then demand the government pay them more, demand you, the taxpayer, pay them more. That's why they're threatening to riot, as opposed to, oh, I don't know, having seen the government shutdown coming a month in advance, because they've had a month now to prepare for free at taxpayer expense for not having any food stamps for November, yet they refuse to and threaten to riot because of their lack of preparation, their refusal to get jobs. That's the people who are threatening to riot. Again, there are people who need these programs. Those aren't the ones who are about who threaten to hit the streets. And even if they don't, we have their social media profiles out there indicating they certainly are of the caliber that we don't want receiving these benefits. More Silker Joshua after this break.
According to a 2025 annual study by National Student Clearinghouse, more than 43 million people have some college credit but no degree. Devin Andrews, Vice President of Admissions and Evaluation at University of Phoenix, explains how to leverage prior college credit and pursue that degree.
Not everyone follows a straight path from high school to a college degree, but a University of Phoenix survey found that 33% of working adults don't realize that their college coursework might still apply toward a degree. Completing a degree can open doors to career enhancement, and previous college credit could count toward a degree, with the potential to save both time and money. Start by documenting your learning, check colleges or universities to see if they have clear policies on transferring credit, and look for tools that might help you assess your program time and cost.
Check out the University of Phoenix mobile app, TransferPath, and download it for a free pre-evaluation of transfer credit.
I think we all know rising food prices are affecting and hitting everyone pretty hard. Bayer is one of the largest agricultural companies in the world, and Luke is not only just a country superstar, but the son of a peanut farmer, and he runs a working farm to this day. So it was a natural partnership. We came together 10 years ago to sponsor Farm Tour and raise awareness around the American farmer, celebrate the American farmer, and tackle hunger. And since then, we've donated over 10 million meals through Feeding America and have educated thousands of families about nutrition. This year, fans have donated an incredible 20,000 pounds of food and non-perishable items at farm tour stops across the country. It was an incredible sight to see. The concert goers were amazing. We were able to fill up truckloads of food. It's really music with the mission and neighbors helping neighbors. Head on over to bayer.us/farmtour for more tips and join us on the farm to help give back and support your local community.
I first want to underscore that Hispanics may be getting the disease younger and may be more at risk, so it's important to be aware of this. Having a history of a Parkinson's in the family, but having chronic constipation, whether in yourself or in your family, also chronic depression yourself or a family, then having smell loss, and also having a long standard, what we call REM sleep behavior. That is when you act out in your dreams, you act out in your sleep, you talk in your sleep, you may sleepwalk. All these are apparently risk factors that contribute to perhaps having a greater incidence or chance of developing Parkinson's. You can go to the michaeljfox.org/PPMI to find out more so that we can make bigger strides. So I appreciate it. Thank you.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs. at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all today. So we're waiting on our guest right now. Hopefully he will show up. Just waiting here and twiddling my thumbs. Not really. Actually, I do have a segment here for you, regardless of if we have a guest show up or not. Sorry, I'm just trying to get this blasted thing in front of me. Anyway, so I was talking in the previous segment about these riots that are being threatened over the possibility of EBT and SNAP being cut. And, you know, it's just the kind of the entitlement mentality that we've gotten in this country. These programs are supposed to be temporary, not generational, as they are in some cases. And is it a lack of opportunity in these communities? Is it that they destroy any opportunity in these communities? Now, keep in mind, these people threatening to riot, you know, some of them live in what are colloquially known as food deserts. Why are they called food deserts? Well, the ability to obtain fresh food is severely hampered in those communities. And if you can't get fresh food, well, they consider it, I mean, what are you left with? You're left with junk food. And good luck with that, staying fit and trim. You know, that's one reason why these people seem to be overweight. Aside from lack of exercise, it's also the type of food that is available to them. So, and also unhealthy eating patterns, because they have all these SNAP benefits or whatever, you know, $800 to $1,700 worth of SNAP benefits per month. And the only thing they have available is junk food. They're going to gorge themselves on that. So that's why that. But we do have our guest here right now. He is Dr. Edward Bartlett, founder of SAVE. He is a former faculty member at three universities and former federal regulator at the Department of Health and Human Services. He has also authored over 100 peer-reviewed articles and editorials. Dr. Bartlett, always happy to have him on the show. How are you today?
How are you, Joseph?
I am doing well, thank you. And sorry, we got you a little late here, but I do want our producer to play this clip to introduce the segment, partly out of duty to the late Alan Nathan that we have to play this clip. But if we could have clip number 14, please. This is from 1992. Keep in mind, listeners. Clip number 14.
Women and men, they're in constant battle, or so we're told by the media. But are women as angry and are men as insensitive as we're led to believe? Our producer, Alan Nathan, went in search of voices from many perspectives in an effort to separate the hype from reality.
Is the war between the sexes authentic, or is it really more like a skirmish, one that the media plays for all it's worth until it seemingly takes on a life of its own? The weaponry includes popular magazines, self-help books, television programming, and feature films. The overall theme is that women and men cannot get along, and that men are to blame. The reactions to this trend are vast.
All right, that was the end of the clip there. We only had that 45 seconds, but that's from a sold program he tried to put together called Issues That Count. Not sure if it's sold or not, because I only found the one tape of it. But the underlying message about, you know, men getting the blame here, it seems to be that, seems to me that that has, in this, particularly in the Me Too era, for 33 years onward from when Alan Nathan produced that, that message has taken root in our culture, because now you have a whole generation that was raised on that kind of messaging coming to run the world. And in particular, it's going to domestic violence, too, this narrative that men are the stronger ones, therefore they must be the ones brutalizing all these women. Dr. Bartlett, what's your take on all this?
Wow. Well, what an introduction to our discussion. And I have to say, well, yes, of course, the war of the sexes has escalated. There's no doubt about that. And domestic violence is a perfect example of that. There have been literally hundreds of studies, scientific studies, on domestic violence all around the world. And guess what? Those studies show that this is an equal opportunity problem. In fact, the Centers for Disease Control says that every year there are more male victims of domestic violence than female victims. So, yeah, we really need to separate truth from accusation, because there's a lot at stake right now for our society.
Absolutely. And, you know, I heard as well that statistically the lesbian couples are the ones that are most likely to have some kind of domestic violence dispute. So, like, just this idea that, oh, it's only the brutal, ignorant, stupid men who can resolve problems only with their fists because they weren't taught how to think and feel like a woman, you know, that's the problem that has to be mitigated. It seems to be, to me, that no, actually we have this unrestrained womanhood out there.
Well, yeah, we are actually one of the strongest advocates bringing out the problem of lesbian domestic violence. And what you just said is factually correct. It truly is much more severe and much more common than heterosexual domestic violence. So we've been saying, hey, people who claim to be, you know, pro-female and wanting to help women, you really need to be talking about this particular problem, because it is devastating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just ignoring it for the sake of feminism doesn't do women or men any good.
Yeah, well, there's a lot about feminism you could say is not only harmful to men, but it's harmful to women. And it's no secret that marriage rates have fallen in our country, and fertility rates in particular have absolutely plummeted in the last 20 years. And you probably know that the studies show that a majority of young liberal women admit to be having mental health problems. Well, clearly that's related to the fact that they're single, they may be on OnlyFans. We know that married women are much happier than single women. So there's so many reasons that feminism has been harmful not only to men but also to women.
Yeah, now, is this sort of, did this just come about because it was overcompensating for years of patriarchal rule? I mean, we do have to face the fact that there were oppressive rules around women. You know, there's this popular meme going around that women couldn't have credit cards until 1973 or whatever, when the Equal Credit Act was passed. Yeah, that's not quite true, though. They could get credit cards. It was just legal to discriminate against them because they were women until that act passed. But still, there was the fact that that discrimination existed, that society was generally, you know, a bit sexist in nature. And now, is this perhaps what we're seeing today, an overcompensation for past sins?
Yeah, I mean, let's be candid. Yes, there were areas that women did not have their necessary and fair rights. And you just gave a good example. But here we are in 2025, and I'm going to make the statement that the patriarchy no longer exists. There is not a patriarchy, but feminists continue to insist there is. And some would argue, in fact, women now have the upper hand. So I don't know if you want to call it matriarchy or whatever, but the situation really has gone really far. It's really been an amazing transformation in our society.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Bartlett, we are actually almost out of time for the segment here. There we go. That's the music. Where can our listeners find out more information about this real quick? About 30 seconds.
Yeah, our website is www.saveservices.org, saveservices.org. And we're working for truth and fairness for all.
All right, Dr. Bartlett, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show. Listeners, we've got more programming coming up after this break.
All right.
Obesity affects more than 40% of American adults, yet too often people are left without access to the support they need due to high costs, outdated one-size-fits-all treatments, or long wait times to see a specialist. Obesity medicine specialist and the head of weight loss at Hims & Hers, Dr. Craig Premack, explains.
The average wait time to see an obesity specialist in the U.S. is about 5 months. Through Hims & Hers, customers typically have their intake reviewed by a licensed provider in about 3 hours. A new analysis shows that customers accessing personalized GLP-1 treatment plans through Hims & Hers lost an average of 20 pounds, or 10% of their body weight, in 6 months. 75% of customers stayed on treatment after 6 months, far exceeding typical dropout rates. With a personalized approach and support across nutrition, movement, and mental health, and 24/7 access to a dedicated care team, the result is a comprehensive care experience that helps people succeed and build healthier lives for the long term.
To get started, visit forhers.com or hims.com.
While the number of highway rail crossing collisions, deaths, and injuries have dropped over the past 5 decades, every 3 hours in the U.S., a person or vehicle is involved in a train collision. September 15th to 21st is National SeaTrax Think Train Week. John Phleps, Norfolk Southern Chief Safety Officer.
Every safe choice around train tracks is a powerful one. This week shines a spotlight on the importance of staying alert and making smart decisions near train tracks. Trains are faster and quieter than most people realize, and they can take more than a mile to come to a complete stop. That's why it's critical to stay off tracks unless you're at a designated crossing. At crossings, always look and listen for trains and make sure you have a clear view in both directions before proceeding. Safety is a core value and the foundation of everything we do at Norfolk Southern, but safety isn't just our responsibility, it is everyone's. You have more power than the train to stop a crash before it happens by always making safe choices around tracks.
Visit norfolksouthern.com/railsafety to learn more.
There are an estimated 1 million cases of shingles in the U.S. each year. Dr. Leonard Friedland from GSK has more information about who is at risk and what to do about it.
Shingles is a painful blistering rash that can last for weeks. It's caused by the same virus as chickenpox, which remains dormant in a person's body and can reactivate years later as shingles. Starting around age 50, your immune system weakens with age, increasing your risk of developing shingles. In addition to AIDS, certain chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, COPD, chronic kidney disease, and asthma have all been linked to a higher risk of shingles.
Shingles can disrupt work, sleep, family time, and daily routines. 99% of adults already have the virus that can cause shingles, though not everyone will develop it. But prevention is possible, and pharmacists are here to help.
Pharmacists are trusted healthcare providers that help keep our community safe and healthy. Talk to your local pharmacist to find out about your risk for vaccine-preventable diseases, including shingles.
Visit EasyVax.com to find a pharmacy appointment near you. That's EasyVax.com.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp. I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show. Everybody, co-host Joe with you all here this weekend. So, you've heard all this BS about the Trump ballroom, right? And I guess they got this poll out saying 2/3 of the country are against it for whatever the hell reason or other. I guess no one really knows much about it. So Trump actually offered to build one for Obama in 2010. And there have been many instances where larger indoor meeting spaces are needed for presidential functions. As Jeffrey Lord, frequent guest on the Alan Nathan Show from the American Spectator, he pointed out to me, it's hardly dignified to host world leaders under a tent in the lawn. And so hypothetically, if Obama had taken Trump up on his offer and built a ballroom, and then Trump refused to use the Obama ballroom, instead hosting African leaders in a tent on the lawn as Obama did, what do you think the press would say? if such a thing were to happen, right? So this is all just garbage, and the only thing that they have any kind of legitimate criticism against Trump on is the fact that he said they wouldn't cut down the East Wing, and then they ended up cutting down the East Wing. Okay, that lie is about the only thing they have. Otherwise, who the hell even cares? It's not being done on taxpayer expense. It's a functional room that the White House is in dire need of. I mean, gee whiz. Again, if there hadn't been this controversy around the ballroom, if, say, Obama had reached out to Trump and he refused to build it for Obama, and Obama had to host African leaders on the front lawn, that'd be considered racist. And if Trump refused to build a ballroom, even though Democrats won and won, and he hosted African leaders on the front lawn in a tent, that would be racist. But nope, there's still controversial that Trump wants to build a meeting space for all these people on the White House without building another building on the White House and ruining the rest of the grounds. Anyway, it's just another phony scandal. So, speaking now back to real scandals and real journalism, there's real journalists on the streets in Portland right now, Portland, Oregon, not Portland, Maine. Portland, Maine is probably near where Murder, She Wrote took place, so there's too many murders for a riot. But in Portland, Oregon, it's a different story. Real journalists on the streets in Portland have caught stand-down orders on their police scanners. Whenever Antifa decides to beat up conservatives or block public routes, block traffic, direct traffic, Antifa owns the Portland streets. Antifa is the legitimate governing authority of Portland right now. It's like a narco-tyranny. You have ostensibly legitimate trappings of government, but behind it is a cartel pulling the strings. Antifa is like that cartel. Did you vote for them? I don't think so. And there's stand-down orders for rioting when the left looks like it's winning the riot. You'll note they only arrest conservatives who are beaten up. This is what leftism looks like. We saw it nationwide in 2020. Now, I'm not going to say to their credit, because there's plenty of reasons why they did it, that are not altruistic. Portland police finally cleared out the Antifa militants that illegally seized the street near the ICE facility. Three misdemeanors. That's why they did it. I bet. Some federal agency was about to bulldoze it and give out felonies like candy, so the Portland police beat them to it so that they can continue the narrative that nothing happened. Oh, see, what's ICE complaining about? There were only three misdemeanors from this. When, had the feds shown up and done the real arrests, there'd be felonies galore. And the Antifa folks were there to stay. They had tents, medical supplies, cooking supplies, art supplies. The Gateway Pundit is spinning this as a victory and noting there was no Antifa resistance, suggesting they were demoralized. I bet they were tipped off, told it was either this or felonies in prison, as some of their members already have faced elsewhere. Also, it's getting colder in Portland, so maybe they were just packing up for the winter anyway. The police do not act in Portland without Antifa's approval. That has been established, and the weather patterns in Portland make it such that it won't be until May or June that Mother Nature will make it comfortable to do this again. Keep in mind, this past June is when the encampment established itself. See the pattern here? You see this kind of thing in wrestling and soap operas all the time. The wrestler or actor needs to go on vacation, so the writers come up with an acceptable way to get the character off TV for a few months. For Antifa, it was this sudden, unprecedented uprising against the local leadership by the Portland police, wherein they rebelled against their masters in Antifa. Only idiots are buying the snow job. Heck, the police were just there to clean up after Antifa. We've saw it that they weren't even really, again, three misdemeanor arrests for that huge crowds like that that were assaulting ICE agents. Come on. So, either number one, they decided they would pack it in for the winter. Number two, they decided that right-wing counter-protesters were getting too numerous after some confrontations earlier that weekend. Number three, the Portland police caught wind that feds were about to pay a visit. Number four, the No Kings protest exhausted money for pay crowds, so they needed to redistribute elsewhere. I alluded to that at the end of the opening segment, that perhaps they needed bodies elsewhere, and therefore this is what we ended up with. Or number five, it's to help the court case against Trump deploying the National Guard in Portland. That's before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals right now. They've put a stay on Trump deploying in Portland, at least because of that stay, that gives them time to clear out. And now what's going to happen? They're going to be like, why do you need to deploy the National Guard in Portland, Trump? There's no Antifa there. Nothing to see here. Therefore, the judge can deny the claim, and then as soon as the case is dismissed, Antifa is back in the streets. When will we know what really happened? Probably as late as June next year when they reappear in Portland, or shortly when we see Antifa growing elsewhere, or after Trump's court case about deploying the National Guard in Portland to protect ICE agents is dismissed. because there is now not an imminent threat against ICE agents there. So, or maybe we'll learn as soon as today, when this is airing, if those snap riots that social media's users are threatening come to pass, and you see a few extra bodies other than the tubs of lard that are on social media threatening such things. But either way, we cannot count on this police clearing them out as police doing their jobs. We've seen them do their jobs. It's not like city council has changed. Did Portland suddenly get a new mayor? Did Portland suddenly get a new city council? No. Did they get new citizens who are less tolerant of riotous activity? Hell no. Did Portland flip red? No. There is no logical reason police would have done this that involves actually suppressing rioters and stopping left-wingers from doing their thing. Because that's not... What I've referred to before, you know, I called it a narco-tyranny in this as a comparison, but the actual term is anarcho-tyranny. And I've butchered that before on the Alan Nathan show as being narco-tyranny or narco-state. It's actually anarcho-tyranny. Somewhere along the course of the years, I dropped the an. So anarcho-tyranny is this. You have many laws on the books, but the government only enforces the laws against political opponents. Their own side are free to do whatever the hell they please, so anarcho-tyranny is exactly what you see in liberal cities. Portland, Los Angeles, New York City, anywhere where you see these rioters getting away with whatever they care to, while you see any conservative counter-protesters getting their heads busted by the police, metaphorically. They get their heads busted for real by the protesters, and then the police arrest them for inciting the protesters to attack them. And not the protesters, though, even though elsewhere we've seen it where conservatives are arrested if they do incite a protester to attack them. In these liberal cities, the conservatives are arrested for being attacked, for being the victims. It's crazy. That's just how the liberal legal system works in these places. Their side is always innocent. And go ahead, get a trial by jury. See what happens. You're not getting a jury of your peers if you're a conservative in Portland, Oregon. You're getting a jury of Antifa. You're getting a jury of their supporters. You're getting a jury of people who deny the existence of them. So it's a mixed bag of left-wingers trying to decide where they stand on violence against political opponents. But the one thing they can agree on is you're guilty no matter what because you are a conservative and they want your head on a platter. I mean, gee whiz, look at all the ones celebrating after Charlie Kirk's assassination. I mean, just right now, we have this left-wing podcaster out there, like Jennifer Welch, I think is her name. She's out there with these controversial remarks. First, she refers to Jews as Nazis or a certain segment of Jews as Nazi Jews. And then she's out there saying that earlier, there's this clip floating around of her earlier, that she was saying that Democrat politicians just need to get used to their base celebrating Charlie Kirk's murder, the political assassination. And we saw how many people were so happy about his assassination. All these liberals posting on social media their elation that a political opponent was assassinated and providing future hit lists suggesting that there be further assassinations, with some having suggested even long time prior, killing as many conservatives as possible in order to, because that's democracy, I guess, when you murder all your political opponents so they can't vote you out of power. Certainly we've seen that from other Democrats, such as the attorney general candidate in Virginia that I've mentioned before on the program and on the Alan Nathan show, where he, in response to a Republican showing up at a Democrat's funeral to show solidarity and mourn the dead, this particular Democrat decided that he wanted to murder this Republican, wanted to murder his children, and also in the past has said that he wanted to kill police officers too. What a nice person. What nice people the Democrats are. And those remarks hadn't really been denounced by the Democrat Party. They've just said, oh, he's apologized, so it's okay now. There's been no accountability as they would demand from, say, a Republican who made such statements, where they demand they be fired. In fact, we saw that with the Young Republican National Federation text that were leaked from those 9 members. Democrats demanded their heads. They got them. But what happened to their own candidate? Nothing. They still support him. They brought in Barack Obama to help win the governor's race so that that candidate would win the attorney general's race by proxy. That's how much they care about it. That's how violent the party has become, tacitly supporting this kind of thing. It's no wonder that they might want these riots as leverage, as multiple party officials have indicated. We're at Silker Joshua after this.
Starbucks new protein lattes and cold foam drinks are now available nationwide, explains lifestyle expert Kia Malone.
Starbucks new lineup of protein lattes and protein cold foam drinks are delicious and protein packed, delivering up to 36 grams of protein per grande. One of my favorites is the new chocolate cream protein cold brew, handcrafted with smooth layers of chocolate protein cold foam and cold brew sweetened with vanilla syrup, and it delivers about 19 grams of protein per grande.
Malone also details the new Starbucks protein boosted milk, which can be used to customize any beverage that includes milk.
The protein boosted milk is made using 2% milk and premium whey protein, contains no added sugar, and adds approximately 12 to 16 grams of protein per grande. There's a full menu of protein beverages for customers to choose from the iced sugar-free vanilla protein latte to the iced protein matcha latte and more.
Find the new protein drinks at your local Starbucks today and learn more at protein.starbucks.com.
As colder months set in, families and kids spend more time indoors and on screens. That is experts concerned. But as pediatrician and Next Playground Chief Pediatric Advisor Dr. Emily Greenwald explains, it's not screen time itself that's the problem.
So the real concern is that screen time often means long stretches of inactivity. A lack of enough movement can affect kids' physical development, school performance, and even their mental health.
Dr. Greenwald says the solution is more physically active play.
Kids need at least 60 minutes of active play every day. I prescribe active play for 60 a day, whether that's bundling up for an outdoor adventure or finding indoor ways to get families playing and moving together.
That's the idea behind Next Playground, the active play system that gets families moving together. There are plenty of ways to play, from Zumba Fitness Party to beloved characters like Cookie Monster, Kung Fu Panda, and Barbie. And now the first ever Bluey active play game. Learn more at nextplayground.com.
The Medicare annual enrollment period runs each year from October 15th through December 7th, and it's an important time of year for the millions of Americans who already enjoy Medicare coverage. It's their chance to compare plan options for 2026. We know that Medicare coverage can be confusing. One thing I recommend to help navigate through the process is really focus on two things: cost and coverage. For cost, you want to consider things like the plan's premium, deductibles, copay or coinsurance. And for coverage, you should look not only at the medical coverage, things like hospital and doctor visits, but also prescription drug coverage and any extra benefits. The annual enrollment period runs from October 15th through December 7th. It's a great time to compare those cost and coverage of the plans available. Lots of options to consider for your Medicare choices in 2026. To help you navigate, I would recommend starting with a visit to MedicareEducation.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair, and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me? Would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all got to help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're going to be saving our lives.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's H-E-L-P-P-V-A.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. We are in our final segment. And, you know, perhaps some of the stuff I was talking about, you know, like that crazy podcaster who, after all the threatening statements, ended up on, like, MSNBC and other left-wing outlets, became a liberal media darling. You know, perhaps some of this can be attributed, and, you know, other people threatening things. Maybe this is all attributed to lead in cookware. You know, lead can drive you crazy. Maybe it's like the Mad Hatter stuff, you know, like the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland, who was just, you know, a case of mercury poisoning from how they used to put mercury in hats for whatever the heck reason. But we're joined by Dr. Salvador J. G. Giorgiani. He is, I made it sound like there's a G. It's Dr. Salvador J. Giorgiani, not J.G. He is senior science advisor to the Men's Health Network and a past chair emeritus of the American Public Health Association, former alumni association board member of Columbia University School of Public Health. Dr. Giorgiani, always happy to have him on the show. How are you today?
I am doing fabulous, and I am also an avowed cook. Home cook. I love cooking, so this is a topic near and dear to my heart.
Mm. Yeah, and I have to cook all my meals pretty much at home, too, so I've got, I've probably got PFOAs or whatever galore in my system by now, but now I got to worry about lead, too. I'm looking at some of the stuff here. An aluminum saucepan that has lead in it? Aluminum and lead are two different elements on the periodic table, last I checked.
Yeah, you are, and I think the problem happens for with so many of the things that we buy here in the U.S., that the quality of what we're getting from some markets outside the U.S. is not what it should be.
Hmm. Yeah, I see this label here, made in Pakistan, so it's clearly not from the U.S.
And the lead contamination isn't just in things like frying pans. We see the lead contamination in other things that you can buy online, including, for example, tea and tea products, food products, if they're grown in heavy or contaminated soil. So I think our supply of food, cookware now, is subject to an awful lot of contamination.
Now, I assume that anything that ends up in the stores had to have passed some kind of check. So where are these foods coming from? I mean, is it something you can grab at Walmart, like the Walmart generic tea, for example, that has this extra lead? Or is this like specialty dealers online where you think you're getting the cheapest price on Amazon, but you're getting lead along with that cheap price?
I think you're getting, as a bonus, of a little bit of contaminated product material. Online purchasing, even you would think it would be something as simple as a frying pan or a saucepan, online purchasing has an awful lot of problems associated with it, because there is no good control, particularly when something on some of the online sources, you're looking at them at the Amazon quote-unquote online store, but really the retailer is somewhere in a country where you wouldn't drink the water. And it's made there without any care for health and safety of the people who are purchasing these items. So that's a very, very difficult sort of thing. My suggestion is that you only deal with online retailers. Stick with the basics of types of cookware you lose, stainless steel, cast iron, even ceramic-coated products from reputable retailers. And you shouldn't have any problem with those items. It's really the items you're purchasing online from sources that you really can't identify.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my mother is very frantic about her Amazon purchases. Manic, I believe, is the word I was looking for. And she goes around, desperately tries not to buy from anyone that she can identify as coming from China. But then when she thinks she's buying an American user, she's seen plenty of times, it's the same darn thing from China. They're just having it drop shipped and charging a little extra. So even though it is an American seller, the product itself is still from the same foreign sellers that have the lower quality.
Yeah, if you go online and you do a little bit of research, for example, I get my cast iron from a couple of reputable sources that we know have been around for decades and decades. You're not here, all of a sudden pop up like a mushroom and disappear like a weed in the garden. They're there, they're around. You can find them. You have to do a little bit of research. So, sure, Amazon is great, but there's no free lunch. And really, the quality for everything from the foods you buy, the consumable foods, and even now the cookware, the glassware, the dinnerware that you buy, you really have to be very cautious. So you can save a few dollars, but put your health. And it's particularly dangerous if you have young children. Now, lead is one of these things where the exposure to even small amounts of lead, other heavy metals such as loose aluminum or unbound aluminum, can be extremely injurious to young children in their formative ages under 7, 10, where the neurologic system is starting to develop. So that's a particular age, and if you have young children or older folks, you really need to be meticulous about where you get your sources from.
Mm. Yeah, and even a tiny amount of lead is enough to cause some issues. And now, what sort of issues can we see from lead poisoning or even just these small exposure levels?
These are neurotoxins. They can cause everything from delayed emotional development, delayed intellectual development, problems with blood cell development. Can be precursors to allowing certain types of blood cancers and tissue cancers. Exacerbate what we put in our bodies has an awful lot to do with how our bodies express our genetic, our inherent genetic profile. They can actually lead to tremors in some individuals, possibly even seizures, but it also can make you feel dull, emotionless. And I know you were giving a quip earlier on when we opened up the segment, but it can develop into some emotional problems as well.
Oh, wow. Just all this stuff from lead exposure. You have to wonder,
nothing
too.
Good.
Right. And you have to wonder, these countries that are allowing it, I mean, are they selling to their own people in their countries? Are they like, haha, stupid Americans, we can make a cheap buck off of them that we couldn't make on our own people?
Well, I don't know that for sure, but I suspect people who are unscrupulous about supplying dangerous products anywhere in the world really are not there because of social good. They're there to make a few bucks.
Mm. Well, Dr. Georgiani, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show this weekend to talk about all of this. Where can our listeners find out more information real quick? About 20 seconds left here. Okay. Well, you can find out more information about the Silker Joe Show at MainStreetMediaNetwork.com. But also don't forget to check out AlanNathan.com as well. I mean, after all, I post his show now weekly. Not every day, mind you, but it's still a great website to check out anyway. Some of his very relevant, even today, as you heard from the clip I played during the second segment. A lot of what he says may have been written in the past, but still much relevant today. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.